You're listening to the Simple Pen Podcast, Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate All.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Simple Pen Podcast. For those of you who are new, I hope you enjoyed the intro. If you want to get to know me a little bit more, head over to simplepinmedia.com. That's where you can find all the information about what we do and the Pinterest marketing that we do for our clients. Today, we're not going to go too deep into Pinterest marketing. We're actually going to cover the best business books that I've read in 2019. So if you're really itching for some Pinterest marketing advice, then go to simplepinmedia.com/start. If you are so new with Pinterest and you don't even know where to begin, if you have a profile, you know what you're doing, you got a grasp of Pinterest, but you need to amplify it and take it to the next level, go to simplepinmedia.com/grow. Those are the two places you can get the information that you need based on your level. For those of you who have stuck around for many of my podcasts, thank you. I am so thrilled that you keep listening to me, whether you're at the gym, in the car, or at home while you're working. Today, we are going to be talking about the business books that I've read. I've read 11 over this past year. I'm going to tell you about my favorites, tell you about what I have learned through reading some of these, which ones I would invest in, and which ones I maybe wouldn't. So not all of these books are business per se, but they do apply to business stuff at some point. I will also say that I am not a big fiction book reader. It is one in a blue moon that I read it, that I get into it. I am a fact finder. If you've ever taken the Kolbe test, K-O-L-B-E, it's fantastic. And so I liked to figure out facts. And this year, I also listened to my very first audiobook through Audible, and I absolutely loved it. I know tons of my friends that listen to audiobooks, and I always wondered, why on earth do they only listen to books? I need to take notes. I need to underline things. I just needed all the things. Well, I realized in this new book that I read on, or read, listened to on Audible, I realized that I could make clips and bookmarks at certain places where I needed to remember to go back to. And I started with a book that my coach recommended. And she said that if you're reading it, it's actually super dry. So she didn't tell me this before. She told me this after. So I'm so thankful I listened to it. And I'm going to talk about that particular book in a minute. This experience with listening to this book allowed me to hear what they were saying in a different way than if I was reading it. And this has converted me into potentially listening to more books. But I do like having a physical book. There's something about it. I like to underline. I like to take notes. I like to pick it up. So yes, I can take notes in Audible, but there's just something about pencil to paper that really does bridge a connection for me. So in the blog post, I've listed all the books with links. You can find that at simplepinmedia.com/165. If you just go to Simple Pin Media, you can click on podcast or on blog. We've hopefully have a really easy to navigate site where you can see all of that. So just hop over there and you can find it. So let's start with some of the ones that I have gone through. And then the back half of the show here, I'll tell you my absolute favorite. We're going to end with my absolute favorite because that's just how these things work. So the one that I listened to, my one audiobook, was a book called Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold. And this book completely forced me to dream again. My favorite quote that I took out of this was this: the role of a CEO is to create the vision. The role of leadership is to figure out how that comes to fruition. And I loved that reminder that my job isn't always the how. I'm a big how-to kind of gal, but that I needed to dream. So I have always told myself, I don't set goals. I can set a forecast or a roadmap for my business, but I don't set goals. And the reason I said this to myself all these years was because this was a way that I would never disappoint myself. So if I didn't have goals, I would never be disappointed, right? But there's something about dreaming a dream. And in this book, he likens it to building a house. He also talks a lot about Elon Musk and how he dreamt of the Tesla before anybody had any idea that it could actually ever be created. And he said, you can start with a house and somebody could say to somebody else, I want a two-story house with building windows facing like north and a porch. Well, everybody's going to approach that differently. Somebody is going to build colonial. Somebody is going to build modern. Somebody's going to build like postmodern or something like that. So you have to go really into detail about what is your vivid vision. Make it so clear. And for me, this came at a time where I really could not dream about what was next. It was very, very tough for me. So reading this was timed perfectly well with my mastermind meetup in Nashville. And this is my CEO ladies. There's five of us. We meet in Mexico once a year, but we decided to meet up mid-year in Nashville. I told them that I was reading this book and I needed to come up with my 3-year vivid vision. And I said, I don't know how to dream. If I was to look at a hill and picture my house on a hill, it's very foggy. I can't see it. And so I need you to tell me what my dream looks like because I need to start dreaming again. And they were able to speak words over me that were so powerful that I came home from Nashville. And what he tells you to do in the book is to write out your vivid vision outside of your office. You need to be out in nature. You need to be somewhere that is not in a workspace, not in a plane. And so I went to a remote workspace here in Portland. It's called Remotely. Lots of plants. Like that's their selling point. And a beautiful view of the city. And coffee. So I pen and paper. I poured out my soul. And I didn't necessarily build a house. It's a tree. And there's a lot of reasons why I have that tree as my vision. And I'll unveil it later after I talk to my team about it. But it took me 3 hours, a lot of coffee. And after I got done, I was like depleted, but energized at the same time. It was probably one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my business to date. I think I messaged my coach and I was like, holy crap. Like, I don't know. That was amazing. It was crazy. So this book for me, I highly, highly, highly recommend if you feel like you need to really unlock the big dream for your business. And as a person who started a business that never intended it to get to where it is today, I needed to be able to envision out what does it look like in 3 years? How do I, Kate, CEO of Simple Pin Media, dream big? And this allowed me to do it. Highly, highly recommend. And I highly recommend you listen. So there's that. Okay, the next book that I read was a recommendation from Amanda Tress. She runs Faster Way to Fat Loss, and she had posted on her Instagram a picture of this book called Do Scale by Les McEwen. And it is a really quick read, has a lot of graphics in it. And he says, he talks a lot about organic growth, exponential growth, and scaling. And he basically says scaling means a relentless primary focus on maximizing the market share. Organic growth does not. Scaling is built on the mundane. It's daily activity, hour by hour, repeating the same boring mantra about having consistency and repeatability. There's a lot of other things in there. It is kind of dry. I'll just say that. But there's a lot of like aha moments. We talk about scaling in our industry, but what does scaling look like? And he really does a great job at going. There's organic growth that just kind of has a really great trajectory. And then there's scaling, which is like massive, massive trajectory. And I have been watching Amanda Tress's business from the side. And she is scaling massively. And it's really cool to watch. And so when she recommended this book on her Instagram, I was like, I'm going to get that book because I'm watching somebody who can scale and grow a company really rapidly. The next book is Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz. So I didn't finish this book, but I really like this author. Mike Michalowicz on any podcast is hilarious. He's so entertaining, so down to earth, really easy to listen to. I have also read the first half of Profit First, and we do a modified method here at Simple Pin for our finances. But the biggest thing I took away from this, and I think the reason I didn't finish it, was because we were also reading another book at the same time, which I'll talk about in a second. But one of the things I took away from this book is he said every CEO needs to take a 4-week vacation away from their business and just unplug, because your business should run effectively without you. So while I don't take 4 weeks off, we do work much slower in the summer. In fact, July is one of the months that we take off from podcasting. We take off from onboarding as many clients, and we essentially just really, really pull back. So I take a full week off in March with my CEO Ladies Mastermind that I just talked about that we met in Nashville. We meet in Mexico every March at the beginning of that time to really mastermind together. And then I take 2 weeks off in July, not back to back, but I am totally unplugged. In fact, one of those is family camp with our church, and there is no reception. In fact, this year, our campsite had a tiny bit of reception. I was kind of annoyed because you couldn't get reception anywhere else. I need to unplug to be able to continue to grow. So I like this book. I think there's good potential. I will continue to dive in once we're done with our next book, which is Traction. Traction is by Gino Wickman. I was recommended this book by a friend that had implemented this system into their business. The system is the EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, and it is a little bit of a dry read. My executive team was like, oh, this is awful, but it is really, really systematic and strategic. Now, I would say we are running mostly on the Traction system. Now that we combined with the Vivid Vision stuff, we have our 3-year plan. The Quarterly Rock system is amazing. That has been really cool, as well as their meeting structure. I find a lot in this. It's very much like a textbook, something you could pull off the shelf and kind of copy, like this is what we're doing. They do have something that's called the People Analyzer. We did change that a little bit, and we actually call it the Feedback Framework, because we just didn't want the connotation of a person being analyzed. But we do take away like the right seat, right person. We often use that terminology. Is this person in the right seat? But we want to give feedback and coaching so that people have the opportunity to really get better at their job. So Traction, if you are looking for a system in your business as it grows, even if you're 1, 2, 3 people, right? Or actually 2, 3, you can't just be one. But 2, 3 people, I would highly recommend Traction. I'm still going through it. It's filled with sticky notes. And if you're a virtual company, I'll also say that you just have to kind of bend and flex a little bit to make it work for you. The other one was also by Gino Wickman. It was How to Be a Great Boss. So he was okay. I felt like it piggybacked on some of the Traction methods and how to lead well. Leadership for me is not a huge struggle. While I always want to get better at it, it's a little bit something that I inherently understand. So do you feel like I knew some of this stuff already, but they talk to you about how you communicate with people and how you lead them and how you really project yourself. There's a suite of books. I think it's Traction, Rocket Fuel, and this one. They kind of all go together. So there's cross references between the two. So I would recommend Traction out of all of them. Rocket Fuel, we took the assessment online between the visionary and the integrator. Clearly, I'm the visionary of the team, and most everybody is high on the integrator level. So I don't know. It was a good book, but I passed it on to my team director, and I think she skimmed through it. So all that to say, I don't think it's needed. Go for Traction. The next book is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. He has a podcast, the Story Brand Podcast. I have read and know of Donald Miller from like 15 years ago, his book Blue Like Jazz. And that was before he transitioned into marketing. I really, really, really like him as a thought leader and a business owner. I did only get about halfway through, but that's because I felt like I had the gist. And I'd listened to some other podcasts, and Melody, my community manager, she had listened to she'd read the book too, and I'd seen some other things. So I didn't feel like I really needed to map out the story of my business, but I did love that you as a business owner are just the guide. You are not the hero. They are the hero. Let them shine instead of you. And that for me was an amazing mental shift in how I invested in my writing, my products, my promotional material, how to make them the hero. So he outlines in the book how to come up with your story marketing based on like how to write movies. So it's really good. Again, I just got halfway through. I didn't feel like it was crazy engaging for me, but I know I love Donald Miller. I think he writes really, really good stuff. Okay, so this other one is not a business book, but I picked it up because I had listened to a podcast between him and Lewis Howes, but it's I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. I don't know how to say his last name. Sorry, I totally butchered it. It wasn't my favorite. We follow a Dave Ramsey plan, but I wanted to see what he talked about in the way of investing. So I skimmed super fast. And he did just come out with a new version 10 years later. What I really took away from, I guess, him in general, that I really just got out of the podcast with him and Lewis House, was that everybody has a place where they move their money dial, where they focus on spending. Some people love to go out to eat, so they'll pull back on what they spend on their house. Other people love their house, so they won't go out to eat. So essentially, we save in one place to spend in another. He talks about credit cards, talks about other things. I think it's a good plan. It's just not my jam, but I think he is super straightforward and hilarious and honest. And so if you wanted a finance book that you wanted to start with, that was not like the latte factor, because he talks about that. Like, I think it's stupid for, he says this, these are not my words. He'll say, I think it's stupid to just give up lattes because you're going to save $2 a day. He's like, you have to really know and evaluate. And he said some really interesting, thought-provoking things, even about like owning a home. And so if you want to read that, that's your jam, go for it. The next book is The Legacy Journey by Dave Ramsey. We implement the cash method in our lives and we follow the rule of no debt. And we also have the no debt in business as well. In fact, SimplePin just completed our first goal of storing up an emergency fund for the business. And that is really awesome. So this book doesn't really focus on money, but it focuses on after you've established all of the steps, like what's your legacy? Like what's it going to be that you pass on? And a big part of that is giving. I really love this. He talks about how he doesn't like the term giving back, as it implies that your money was somebody else's to begin with. And he says, just give. It's your money. You're called to be generous with it in the places where you're called to give. And that stuck with me because I didn't like the term giving back either, because I don't really feel like it's with somebody else's, but it's ours. And my husband and I have a really, really strong conviction to give. So what does giving look like in our legacy? And I also loved this quote that goes along with work, and the work creates the money to be able to give. And he says, if I matter to God, and if God's given me something to do for 40 hours a week, then that must mean my work matters to him. He says, don't compartmentalize work and life. They're all intertwined. And that really forced me to think about having a legacy company where we give within that, and how what I do at SimplePin also matters in life. And it matters in all these interactions. They're not separate. So it was a good read. I really liked it. I tried to get my husband to read it and he was like, no way. He reads like Star Wars books. All right. So the other one is The Road Back to You by Ian Cron and Suzanne Stabile. And that is all about the Enneagram. So not business, but a good tool to use in business. I'm a 3 and my subtype is a 1-to-1 or intimate. Some call it sexual, but I just hate that term. So I'm not going to use it. But I have a few friends at church who are also 3s. We've gotten together to talk about our struggle in being a 3. And a lot of being a 3 is we believe that our value is wrapped up in work. And we believe our value is performance-based. And we have to move past that. I am married to an 8. And this book has really helped us understand each other, It's also understand the people that work for me. Shannon, who's my executive assistant, she's a two. So she is, wants to be so helpful all the time, which is so great. But it's not what makes me appreciate her. I appreciate her just because she is so integral and important to our business. And so we've had to work through like, it's a, I don't know how you can help me, but I'll work on it, right? So that's just been a cool thing to understand her as a two and other people on my team. So I've learned that as a three, I have to constantly challenge myself not to worry about getting it right. And it's okay to fail. So that's been a big piece for me in reading this book. So if you haven't read a lot about the Enneagram, this is a good place to start. All right. So the other, so we've got two left. These were probably the two most impactful books I've read this year. So I guess this is like number 10. Yeah. The Ideal Team Player by Patrick Lencioni. This book is one of the best books if you have a team, bar none, one of the best. I really like Patrick Lencioni and his writing. I've read quite a bit of his books. One of them is Five Dysfunctions of a Team. They're written in a fiction element. So it reads like a fiction book for the first three quarters. And then the last quarter, he goes in depth as to how you can implement this with like sheets and systems and all of that. And Five Dysfunctions of a Team talks about healthy conflict. So that's always really, really good when you're in a team setting. But the Ideal Team Player goes deeper and it looks for three things in a team player. If you're hungry, if you're humble, and you're smart. They define those, they break them out to which, what a team player is like if they only have two, if they only have one, if they have zero, you should probably let them go. So you can use these assessments to identify where your team members are and how you can help them grow. It is really, really good. Like the eye-opening story in there is that sometimes we do go after the people who are hungry and smart, but we really miss those who are humble. And those who are humble on our team are willing to help when they need to help, maybe on a lower level job that's not theirs. They are willing to communicate with respect. They are really willing to get down and dirty with the team, regardless of worrying about their stature, but they're always looking out for other people's interests. And so I would highly, highly recommend anything by Patrick Lencioni. He has another one about like home life and family life. Like the, I think it's like the Five Dysfunctions of a Family. Look up anything he has. He's great with leadership, but the Ideal Team Player, amazing book, amazing book. All right, the last one and bar none, my favorite read of the year. This was recommended to me by my friend Erin Chase, and it was specifically, she took a picture of one of the chapters. I have the book open now, so I'm kind of flipping through it. But I believe one of the chapters was the most powerful woman in the room is not afraid to fail. And that for me is, man, no, it's grow stronger every time she fails. Okay, so this book is written by, I think it's Lydia Fenet or Finette. Again, I'm horrible at pronouncing names. This, again, is my favorite. I underlined most of it. I'm so glad I got it as a physical book. And this quote specifically right here, it's a little bit long, but I want to read it. She says, "The most powerful woman in the room is a woman who knows how to effectively communicate herself and her message to a group of people. She's a woman who leads by example and shows those around her that there's strength in numbers and those who choose to lift others up to lead with her. It is a woman who sets a goal, articulates that goal, and follows through, who understands that leadership is about the human connection, about inspiring and connecting not only by herself, but encouraging other people to do so as well. There is an unbelievable amount of strength in numbers, in groups, in support, in connection. Connect, engage, inspire, and lead. The most powerful woman in the room doesn't need to have the loudest voice in the room because she has the conviction it takes to sell her vision. She doesn't do it alone, and she doesn't want to do it alone. She wants everyone to succeed as much as she wants to succeed. Strength in numbers, power in numbers, but most importantly, power in leadership." This book, She's not a CEO of a company. She works at Christie's as an auctioneer. She takes it and breaks it down into the most powerful woman in the room does X, and it's a chapter. And at first I was a little afraid of it because I thought it was going to be a little too like assert yourself and all of these things, but the humility that came across in this book, and especially in that quote I just read, makes this book even more powerful for me. And when it comes to masterminds and networking, she also says, she's like, you know, people ask me all the time, how should I network? And she says, be a joiner, be someone who does it. Stop waiting for somebody else to ask you to join. Be the joiner. She talks about the power of community. She talks about so many things that I think women in our industry and women today just wrestle with. And she talks about, you know, being a mom and how to navigate that and being all these things. So this book was really life-giving for me. I will read it again. There'll probably be, I will read every single chapter probably again because I love it. And here's another quote, because I can't not, but she says, the most powerful woman in the room goes after whatever she wants to ensure she lives the life she wants to live. She creates a roadmap for her personal and professional life to stay on track and move forward. You may not get what you want every time you want it, but if you keep your eye on the prize and stay focused, you can achieve more than you ever dreamed was possible. It's great. So that's going to be my number one recommendation. I know there's dudes that listen to the podcast. So if you're not down with the most powerful woman in the room, go for Ideal Team Player, go for Traction, go for any of the other ones I listed. Maybe you do want to read this book. It, I don't want to, no judgments here, but I just think it's really powerful when I come across a book that just demonstrates how to be an amazing leader as a woman, and that it's not about how to be the loudest voice. And you can tell that her gift within her company is used well, and she's respected and she's honored as the person that she is at Christie's. And seriously, I've never wanted to like interview somebody for a podcast, but I want to interview her for my podcast someday. So maybe that's my goal, just to hear her heart and to hear what it is she has to say. So I don't know, maybe you guys can hold me to that. So those are my books. I'll go through them one more time so you can hear them. So they love Vivid Vision, so good. Do Scale by Les McKeown. Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz. Traction by Gino Wickman. How to Be a Great Boss by Gino Wickman. Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. I'll Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. Again, sorry about the botching of the name. The Legacy Journey by Dave Ramsey. The Road Back to You by Ian Cron and Suzanne Stabil. The Ideal Team Player by Patrick Lencioni. And The Most Powerful Woman in the Room is You by Lydia Finney. I am just, pick that book up. I know, I've said it multiple times. Let me know what your favorite books are of this year so far, and any that you would highly recommend to me, and why, by commenting on the blog post or sending me a DM on Instagram. The blog post is simplepinmedia.com/165. You can go ahead and comment over there. We do look at comments. I know it's like archaic to comment on a blog, but that's still a great form of communication. And then DM me on Instagram. I'm over there sharing stories every once in a while. You can get sneak peeks of the She Shed and last minute tips over there as well. So thanks so much for listening, you guys. I will talk to you next time.